Welcome to the Revolution Church Sermon of the Week.
Let's wait till that door closes. Sometimes I feel for those Sunday school teachers, we got to bless them more often. We got to encourage them because it's all that noise is coming out and the door closes. We don't hear it anymore, but it's still going on. So we got to bless them. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you for what you've already done here this morning. God, I just feel your presence, and we just thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. We thank you, God. We give you all the glory. We fix our eyes on you this morning. We long to hear from you, God, to be challenged this morning, to be changed, because that is where we see fruit, and we know that that's your desire, is to see our lives changed and made more like Jesus Christ. And we fix our eyes on you, like I said. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to share a few words here, just to start. Busy. Unsettled. Harried. Beat. Tired. Burdened. Worried, overwhelmed, burned out. Can anyone identify with some of these words? People can identify. Just in case you forget some of those, I'm going to put them up. Put it up here. There we go. Yeah, there's no acronym there. Thank goodness. I didn't even look at that. Harried means you're kind of, I don't know, when you hear that word, you're like someone's running to and fro and they're just kind of hairs, you know, their shirt's untucked and different shoes on. I don't know. They're just kind of they're pressured. They're harried. They're hurried, I guess, is another way to say it. Hair's all messed up, all that kind of stuff. We can definitely identify with this list, I think, and I know many of us, like Nick was saying earlier, we come to church on Sunday with pressures, right? We come from a week of being in the world, not of the world, but in the world, and that world puts pressures on us, right? We hear a lot of voices. Inside and outside, and sometimes it can result in some of these symptoms in our lives. Tired, beat, busy, all these things. There are different ways to address, to preach on this, kind of where we're at, you know, and where many of us are at right now. I think if I was working, and I work in mental health as a therapist, and if I was working with a client, and they came and they said that they were feeling some of these symptoms, which they would be feeling if they were seeing me, these symptoms to an nth degree, we'd probably develop a list of things they can do. You know, what can you do to help to combat some of these things in your life? Right? You can go for a walk in the woods. You can ask them, what is it you like to do? What relaxes you? What do you enjoy? Put those things on a list. Make some goals around doing those things. And then go out there and do them. If I was preaching that kind of way in the church, we'd also add a couple more things on the list. And I'd probably slip those in as I'm preaching. Like, read the word, pray, meditate. All these things are important, and they're all true, that you can combat, you know, the busyness in our lives and some of these pressures by looking at it from the opposite tack. But I think what the Lord wants us to do today is go a little bit deeper. Because I know for myself, sometimes I do come on Sunday. And I listen to a preach, or I listen to an encouragement like this morning. And for those of you that can't see, you know, don't strain your eyes. I see, Greg, you're not going to see it from there, I can tell. I'll read them out. Sometimes you come and you hear a preach, or you come and there's worship time, and the Lord speaks in, and he says, you know, all you who are heavy laden, come and give me your burdens, right? Come and lay them down, and I will give you rest. And then I go back out there, and I go back, and Monday morning hits. And before too long, I can identify more with this list than with this list, right? Life hits. The voices that are still out there are still talking. The pressures that are still there on our lives are still there on Monday. And we come and we do lay our burdens down, and we're intentional. We say, Lord, I want to change, right? I want to go from here, and I want to live with this. And this says some of the promises we see in the Word for the children of God. We will run and not get weary. We will walk and not faint. We will soar like eagles. Righteousness, peace, joy. We will have life, and we will have life abundantly. And there's not enough paper here to print all the promises that we read and that we have appropriated and that we've heard in the sermons that we've heard preached that the Lord has given us. But sometimes we forget these when we go back out there. And I believe God wants to bring us a little bit deeper today to remain here, when we leave, and not to allow the other voices to come in and to bring us back into the world's way of thinking. Is that just me? Probably not. Yeah, it makes sense. Thanks, Gary. Good input. We can return so easily. And I'm going to look at the life of Elijah today a little bit to start. And I preached a little bit on Elijah last week. I shared on him the mountaintop experience where Elijah was going up against the prophets of Baal. And there were many prophets of Baal there, and they were saying, you know, our God is stronger. And Elijah says, no, the true God. And he's sitting on the mountain mocking them and calling down fire. And in a drought, he's saying, you know, just bring all this water and my God will show his power. And that's, I mean, not, it's the true mountaintop experience. Like, not many of us have been in that place where Elijah was, but we've been in a place like that, right? Like that, where you come out of Sunday and you're like, oh man, Monday's going to be different. Monday's going to be, whew, you know, I'm going to be flying high. I'm going to run and I'm not going to get weary. I'm going to walk and I'm not going to faint. And I'm just going to keep going. And let's see what happened to Elijah after that moment when he had the mountaintop experience. If you want to turn with me, we're going to spend a little bit of time in 1 Kings today. And then look at how we can apply this to our lives. First Kings 19. So this is after Elijah on Mount Carmel had just an amazing experience demonstrating the power of God, calling down fire, etc. 1 Kings 19. It says, now Ahab, the king of Israel at the time, told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword, all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. So what happened with Elijah? He sent a messenger back that said, no, my God's going to take care of you. Right? No, he didn't do that. He said Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, he sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. This is days after demonstrating the power of God on the mountaintop. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. Elijah went from here, where he's soaring like an eagle. Pretty quickly, Monday morning hit Elijah, and he got a messenger knocking on his door. And the messenger said, you're going to end up like the prophets of Baal. So says Jezebel. And Elijah just hits him, and he goes, whoa, I can't take this. And he runs. Right? Many of us, that happens to us. Similar situation. Sunday, you get a word from the Lord. You're excited. You're encouraged. Monday's coming. Oh, I'm going to be ready. Monday comes, and the world is there waiting. Pressures, voices, those things. They can try to drag us back into being harried, which is a word I'm going to use the rest of the sermon. Just to really get that into our vocabulary. Elijah was harried. And then we look, the angel of the Lord appears to Elijah and says, he strengthens him and he speaks to him and he says, Elijah, go on. Here's some food, go on. Let's be strengthened here. And then we see down in verse 9, it says, then Elijah went to a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah. It says, God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, the same reply that he had earlier. And then down in verse 15, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go into the desert of Damascus. And then he gives him some clear directions. And then he says at the end, yet Elijah, you're not alone. I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him. And I want to preach today on the still small voice, on listening to the voice of God. Are you listening? Are you listening to the voice of God when you're in these moments? Are you taking time to set aside and listen to God's voice? What is he saying in the situation? Sometimes it can feel in our lives with the pressures that we're under. Nick mentioned a few things, the physical pressures, the health pressures, financial, relational, spiritual, all these things, mental health, all these different pressures in our lives can feel like earthquakes. They can feel like fire. They can feel like wind. He saw wind tear mountains apart. God wasn't in that stuff. That's awesome. Maybe I can preach better than I can. We should bring it up here. That's totally okay. That's totally okay. And there concludes the word of the Lord. Are you listening? Are you listening in those difficult times? Are you listening? Are you listening to the still small voice when you're pressured, when you're harried, when all these things are happening? It's Elijah on his own in a cave. And God spoke in. And Elijah said, I'm listening. And God spoke to him clearly what to do. Are we listening? Romans 8 says that we live by walking according to the Spirit. For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Is your life being led by the Spirit? That's a fundamental shift in just kind of an old covenant mindset, where you come with your bull, where you come with your calf, where you come with your dove, where you come with these different things because of sins, because of the situation that you're in. And you come before God, God forgives you because of the sacrifice, you walk away again, you're coming back again pretty soon. Sometimes we treat Sundays like that, or we treat our times with God like that, where we just get into the situation, we come before God, we can't deal with it, and we walk out the same way, without changing. I believe God wants to go a little bit deeper today and say, I want you to walk differently. I want you to walk by the Spirit. If you're spending too much time here living like this, that's not God's desire for his children. That's not any of our desires for our children, is to walk a harried life. It's not God's desire for you. God wants us to be led by the Spirit. Last week, I spoke of Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit was promised in the Old Testament. We saw it in Joel. We saw it clearly. God used people in the Old Testament. He said in Joel, time's going to come when I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people. And then we saw that happen, where Jesus breathed the Spirit on the disciples. And then we saw God pour out his Holy Spirit and fill fill the believers on Pentecost. The church went from powerless to powerful in a moment. God was no longer just among them, but he was in them. God was no longer present in the form of one man, but the entire church could now be filled with the Holy Spirit. Believers of Jesus Christ could be baptized in the Holy Spirit and could hear his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And we see in Romans, those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Leading by the Spirit. I want to encourage you this morning to allow yourself to be led by the Spirit, to hear his voice, and allow him to direct your ways. For his ways, his goal for you is to run and not get weary. Righteousness, peace, and joy. To soar like eagles. That's God's desire for you on Monday morning when you get to work. And all throughout the week. The other voices don't go away. Even we see that in the New Testament. The church in the early church, we often look back and we read Acts and we read the Bible and we think, oh, life was so simple back then. I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure it was just like us. They had pressures, right? They probably had advertisements. They didn't have iPhones, but they had other things, you know, that distract them, that are voices in their lives, input, all these different things. Those didn't go away, but we see something fundamental changed when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and people were led according to the Spirit in his ways. We see Paul, Peter, John, they went from being locked in for fear of the Jews. The disciples were locked in for fear of the Jews at the end of John. And then Jesus appears among them, breathes on them. We see Pentecost happen, and we see those same people who were locked in because they were afraid going out and preaching boldly regardless of the consequences, being led by the Spirit, because they were led by the Spirit. When you were saved and you began to walk out the journey as a Christian, your new life in Christ, there was a new voice added to all the other voices. They might not go away, all the other voices, but you can now hear the voice of God in your life. You can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in any circumstance. And if we're listening, he'll speak in. It's up to us if we listen. It's up to us how we listen. And if we obey, that's our choice, but we can hear the voice of God. He will speak. In 1 John, we see in the King James, there's a phrase in 1 John where it's talking about being led by the Spirit, and the phrase is translated the unction of the Holy Spirit. That you can feel the unction of the Holy Spirit. I'll translate for you for those who have the word unction. I love that word, and I used to use it a lot when I was first excited about God and first started hearing his voice. The unction of the Spirit is just the moving of the Spirit in your life. Something of God speaks to you in a situation. It might be audible, it might be however you hear from the Lord, but something of the Lord speaks in. God speaks in through his Holy Spirit, whatever that is. And he says, this is this, and this is that. And we see that in Elijah, in Elijah's life. When he's in the cave, it says, it says that Elijah, he heard the great and powerful wind, God wasn't in it. He heard the earthquake, God wasn't in it. He saw the fire, God wasn't in it. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard the whisper, he heard something of the Lord. He didn't know what it was yet. He didn't know what God was saying, but he heard something. There was something of God in this moment. He put his cloak on and he went to hear more clearly. He set aside. He pulled aside. He went out to the mouth of the cave and said, Lord, I'm listening. And again, God spoke to him clearly what to do. He took the time. He felt the unction of the Spirit, and he took the time to listen to what God is saying. He drew closer. And God did not desire Elijah to burn out, to remain in the cave. God didn't say, stay here. You're right. You better stay here. Jezebel's not going to find you in the cave. No, God told Elijah, go back the way you came. Go back the way you came. You came all this way. He spent 40 days and 40 nights to get to the cave. God said, go back those 40 days and 40 nights. You got to go back and you got to live your life. You got to live your life and you have to do this, this, and this. And he told him who to anoint and all these different things. He gave him clear directions on what to do because Elijah listened to God. And he went back boldly and did the things. He anointed Jehu and Jehu did things for the Lord because Elijah was obedient to listening to the voice of God. It's not God's desire for us to stay here in our lives, to be beat down as Christians. we go through periods, absolutely. We call those valley periods often, and we compare them to the mountaintops, and we always want to be on the mountaintops, and life's not like that, right? We feel the pressures, but God does desire us to soar above those pressures, to live differently, to walk by the Spirit, and not according to the flesh, or according to the world, or according to the voices we hear. Are we listening? For many of us, we spend too much time here when God wants us to live here. God wants us to live here, life and life abundantly with Him. Are you listening? Jesus said, whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Are you willing to lose this for this? Are you willing to lose the pressures and all these things, the struggling as we do as Christians, the striving? Are we willing to lose that to soar like eagles? How do we do that? By prioritizing the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, by listening to what is God saying, and being led by the Spirit in all situations. Watchman Nee tells a story in a book called The Normal Christian Life, which if we read it today, does not look so normal. But that's why it's called that. He tells a story of a couple that he met in northern China. And he went up there and he was able to preach in this village. And there was this one couple, he stayed with them. And he shared Jesus with them and they were saved. And then he went back a year later and he's talking with the couple again. And they used to always put wine out with dinner. And so he went and he expected them to put wine out, and they didn't put wine out with dinner. And he said, well, I noticed that there's no wine. And they said, well, resident boss wouldn't let us put wine out anymore. And he said, resident boss? I've never heard that term before. And they had no word for the Holy Spirit in their language in northern China. So he was saved. This man was saved, filled with the Spirit. And he felt, there's something here directing me not to put wine out. I can't do it. And so they named it resident boss. That was their name for Holy Spirit, the resident boss inside of me. They prioritized the voice of the resident boss, God himself, higher than their own desire for wine. God said, don't do it. They didn't do it. Period. The Spirit gave unction, and they listened. He is the Lord. And I talked about this last week. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. He's not just one more voice to add to all the other voices and then, you know, weigh it up and say, okay, this is that, and oh, there's a lot here. But the Lord is saying this. Let's prioritize his voice above all the other voices in our lives, above our own desires, above our own thoughts of where we're going to go in our future, above our own plans. Let's put him first, because he is good, and he will lead us in the way we should go. David Nasser tells a story. He's a Iranian-American preacher and a youth pastor in the States, in the southern states. And he's a really gifted speaker. And he tells a story once when he first kind of got involved with youth ministry. And he had this church that he was a part of, and it employed him to be the youth pastor. He thought, great, I'm going to do great things with the youth. So he got the youth together. He said, guys, we are going to put on a show, and it's going to be amazing. So they brought in bands. They brought in music. They brought in lights. They brought in, he would preach, all these things. And the youth group went from small to huge. It went to hundreds of kids. Kids would invite their friends. They'd come for the show. And he was doing this for a while, and people were patting him on the back and saying, David, good job with the youth. Amazing. You know, the church is growing. People seem to be really liking it. It's just incredible. And then one day in his quiet time, you know where the story's going, God spoke in that still small voice and said, David, I want you to shift the way that you're doing youth ministry. I want you to change what you're doing. I want you to get rid of the smoke machine. I want you to get rid of the strobe lights. I want you to challenge these kids to get into the Word of God every day and to start memorizing God's Word. And he was silent for a while. Because you can see, he thought, what's going to happen? But God was troubling him, and God was speaking and saying, I know that you want to do this and you want to be successful, but this is what I'm saying. So he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. And his youth ministry went from hundreds down to 20 kids. Because he got in front of them, he said, guys, I'm going to change things up a little bit. And then, of course, those kids that were inviting their friends, they were coming for the show. There was no more show. Now I was coming for reality. I was coming for God. God wanted to go deeper with these kids, and a lot of them left. But the 20 that remained were memorizing the Word of God, getting into Scripture, being built up, being equipped, and then the church started to grow again, the youth group. And he describes it like this. He used to go to the Friday night service they had with the youth, and his mindset was he would come along and he would bring the Holy Spirit with him. And it was almost like he had the Holy Spirit in a handbag. That's how he describes it. And the music would start, and then he'd go, you know what, I'm going to preach. And then he'd open up the handbag, and the Holy Spirit would go and do his thing. That was his mindset of how he saw his interaction with the Lord. And God challenged that and said, actually, David, you're in the handbag. I'm the Lord. Let me direct you where you're going to go. That's my role. I am Lord. And he spoke in and turned it all on his head. People weren't clapping him on the back anymore when the youth group went from hundreds to 20. Right? But God was. God was. Because it was his will done his way. Another story I have, before I finish off here, is the story of the Moravians. Some of you might have heard of the Moravian missionaries. Nick's shared on them before. There's one story in particular of two young Moravians who heard of an island in the South Pacific. And this island was owned by a slave owner, and it was full of slaves on a plantation there. And the slave owner he heard about God. He wasn't a Christian. He said, no missionary will ever come to my island. It's not going to happen because I'm not going to get my slaves mixed up in that stuff. So these two young Moravians heard about it in Europe, and they said, we're going to sell ourselves into slavery to go and to preach to those slaves. God called them. God said, this is what I want you to do. The voice of the Lord spoke in, and they said, this is what we're going to do. They brought it before the Moravian mission board, and they said, that's crazy. What are you thinking about? I mean, you're two white guys. You want to go and sell yourself into slavery? It's just not done like that. A, he probably won't take you. And it's not, you're not going to be successful. But they said, no, that's what God said. So they ended up doing it. They sold themselves into slavery. One of them did. One of them was a carpenter. He went along and says, well, at least I can, if they won't take me as a slave, at least I'll come along and I'll be a carpenter there and I'll add to the value in that place. So they went in. The guy said, don't preach. He said, okay, fine. We'll see about that. And you know, it wasn't like the guy met them or anything, but they ended up sharing the gospel. And before any other missionaries, eventually other Moravians came and joined them. Before any other mission groups got to that island, 13,000 slaves were baptized by the Moravians, listening to the voice of God and going and doing what he said. And they didn't know if they were going to be there forever as slaves on that island. They didn't know how it was going to work out. But they heard the voice of God. They prioritized it. And they said, okay, Lord, we'll go. And they lived. They soared like eagles. It might not look like it from our perspective, but they lived in righteousness, peace, and joy. And when you read of some of the exploits of the Moravians, they were people at peace, doing amazing things for God, because they prioritized the voice of the Holy Spirit above all others. Those two Moravians didn't end up being there forever. They came back to Europe, and one of them actually went and planted a church with John Wesley, which is quite a statement as well. Just amazing things for God. Now, is that an extreme example? The Moravians? Come on, absolutely it is. It's an extreme example because of the outcome, but not because of their decision. This is God's expectation for us, is to listen to the Holy Spirit and to do what he says. And we will walk according to the Spirit. We see this in Scripture. Galatians 2:20, it's Paul speaking. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Walking that out is the same as what I've been saying, being led by the Spirit, hearing what God is saying and doing what he says. It's not up to me, Lord, it's up to you. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do. I'm going to prioritize your voice above all others, even above myself. There's that word that we see in James when it says submit yourself to the Lord. Submission's a funny word. Because if I always agreed with God on everything that God wanted me to do, if I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to agree with you on everything, he probably wouldn't use the word submit. You submit your will to somebody else and say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you want, that's what I want. It's just pure obedience. Submitting yourself to his will over all others, over yours. What does that mean? I no longer live. It means exchanging your life for his. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. There's an amazing story in here of a man named Hudson Taylor. In this book, if you want to borrow this book, I'll let you borrow it. It's a book called They Found the Secret. And it goes through the lives of 20 Christians that found this secret from living this way. It's probably why I found the word harried. To living this way by the Spirit. And there's a story in there of Hudson Taylor. And he would live a harried life as a Christian. The pressures were mounting. God called him to China, and he was running around. He said he was harried. He was stressed. He was pressured all the time. And then God opened his eyes to the exchange life. And that's what he called it. That was the name of his sermon that he preached on that. The exchange life, where he exchanged his life for Christ's. And he said, Lord, whatever you want to do, that's what I want to do. And the pressures didn't go away, but now he had a different perspective on his life. He had a different master. He had a different Lord. It was the Holy Spirit now speaking in everything in his life. And he was able to do great things because of it and live in righteousness, peace, and joy every day. I want to encourage you as you finish here with Galatians 2:20, what Paul shared. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for you. 1 Corinthians 6 says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. You were bought at a high cost. You were bought. It was paid for. Signed, sealed, delivered by Jesus Christ himself. He bought you. You are not your own. That is the normal Christian life that God calls us to. It's to prioritize his voice. He doesn't desire us to live like this, but we will live this way if we decide we're going to go out here and just do our own thing as Christians. Strive for faith instead of resting on the faithful one. To lay down your life and to continue to lay it down. That's God's desire for us. To remind yourself in every situation that he is the Lord and that he is good. In every situation, he is the Lord and he is good. He laid down his life for you. He expects us to lay down our lives for him and to walk according to the Spirit. This is the life that God is calling us to. A deeper walk with him, directed by the Spirit. To run and not get weary. To walk and not faint, to soar on wings like eagles, to not be harried, to overcome, to be more than conquerors, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And how do we do that? Those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Allow yourselves to be led by the Spirit. Draw aside. If this is you right now, I encourage you to draw aside to the Lord. Draw aside with God. Jesus says when you go to pray, go in, shut the door, and do it yourself. And I encourage you to take the time to draw aside and listen to what God is saying. If there's something here today, some of the stories I shared or any of the verses that are speaking to you, and there's something of God in it, draw aside like Elijah did. Come to the mouth of the cave and say, Lord, I'm listening. And whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says in that moment, say, God, I want to do this. I don't want to live like this. I want to live this way. He might speak into some things in your life where you just have too much in there. God's going to speak in and say this and that and cut this. Allow him to do it. Allow him to prune. Allow him to do what he wants. He's Lord. Dana and I are feeling lately like we're going to get involved with North Shore Pro Life, which is an organization a few months ago. I just feel like there's something of God in that. And I go to God and I say, God, I can't add that. I can't find time in my life for this. God's going to speak in and make time because that's what he does. But I got to prioritize it by what he says. So I want to encourage you to do the same.
That's good. Thanks, Chip. It's really good. I think of the scripture in, I think it's 1 Peter 5, when it says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. These are the scriptures I think of, you know, the running. If you ever watch on those African videos where they're chasing after the gazelle or what have you, it's generally the sick one or the weak one, or they try to get them on their own. And that's just kind of the strategy you see. Or the little foxes in Solomon. It talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine, eat away these little things. Because often the things that make us busy are not all, it's not like we're all doing bad things, right? It's just like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, all is lawful, but not all is profitable. And that's where I think it's just about, okay, you're free, you can drink wine, drink wine. Like he gave that story, none of us think it's wrong to drink wine. But what's the Holy Spirit saying? Well, don't drink wine, drink wine. Whatever it is, it's just being, even just being submitted to what the Holy Spirit would say. And to live in that, to truly live on this side, is a powerful thing. It's interesting with the Moravians, the young Moravians, because they were very young men, and they were leaving on the ship. And, of course, their parents weren't too happy about this, you can imagine. And the last thing they said as they were pushing off on the voyage was, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. It's a powerful thing. May the lamb that was slain receive the rewards of his suffering. And do you know that was the most powerful, one of the most powerful missionary movements to ever hit the world? You know that John Wesley himself got saved on a ship by watching Moravians in a storm. They were the only Christians that weren't freaking out. He could not figure out. They were singing, the kids were even singing hymns as all hell is breaking loose. And he finally went up and said, well, what's with you? So just you think of the impact that these two kids that seemed to have a crazy idea, you know, how they would have been viewed, how those little things, God uses this. They didn't have a bunch of money. They didn't create the newest app. They don't have a song on iTunes. This is what we, but God looks at, God loves to take the weak and confound the strong. God's even delights that his gospel is actually foolish to the world. Can you believe that? Where's his PR manager? Why doesn't he let some angels get in there and like, even the disciples are like, why did you have to say that? We had 14,000 people, and then he started talking about cannibalism to them. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood. Why did you have to say that? Can you imagine how long it took for them all to leave? Like, how long does it take for 10,000 plus people to leave? And at the end, and he looks to them and goes, are you guys going to leave too? It's his ways, not our ways. I'm telling you, there's no fingerprints on the things of God. There's no human fingerprints. It's his. So let's just stand together. I think it's a very powerful message. Thank you, Father. We have all experienced, witnessed today the faithfulness of God to us. Right from the beginning. You are true and faithful. You have been and you are with us now. And we delight, Lord God, to worship you together. What a precious thing it is to be in the presence of God. But Lord, we lift to you the week coming. We lift to you our lives. That you would mature us. That we would not be a fickle people that would only serve God in times of good, but we would look to you, God, for all things. So Lord, we just lift our lives to you, all the challenges, all the stuff, that we in the midst of it would be able to rise above it, that we in the midst of it would have seek you for the wisdom to navigate the waters that we're in, whether the water is placid or the water is full of 10-foot waves, that you are still God, no matter what. And that you would help us read the map and help us read the compass right. That you are our master, the resident master. And so I thank you for this message, Lord, and we trust. And I know Jeb got this from the Lord. I just know that because of when I talked with him. Lord, I thank you for giving us this message today. And we want it to fall on ears and hearts that are willing to walk it out. So Father, we just lift our families. We lift this congregation, God, that we are doers of the word, not just hearers. That we would see life and life abundantly. That we would embrace that we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Oh, Lord, overtake. Take our peripheral, take our front, take our behind. You are all in all. Lord, just to walk in peace, Lord. To walk in righteousness. To walk in joy. To walk with you. So have your way, Lord, in each family. Have your way in this church. Have your way in all that you want to do, Lord. That we may see in our lives that the lamb that was slain received the reward of his suffering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.